Okay, thank you, team. Very nice to have a bit of a team here leading worship with me. I've enjoyed having them here. So, good morning. When I first became a pastor, when I became a pastor, actually, Hamish, would you pass me that, my bag? There was something that I got and forgot to bring up here earlier. I got something from Mana Bookstore, which is anointing oil. Thought this might be useful. This is a biblical way of blessing people. James mentions anointing oil when praying for the sick, or in the Old Testament, we see people being anointed and asking for God's gifting and equipping for God's Spirit. So I got anointing oil in case opportunity came to pray for someone or someone wanted to be anointed with oil if they were unwell. And the label on it calls it Latter Rain anointing oil. And the reading that Josh read at the start is from Joel, and it talks about the latter rain. So I was thinking about this. Israel, you might know, has two main rainy seasons. There's an early rain. That's at the end of summer, at the start or in autumn. The land is dry, but there's an early rain that comes and softens the soil, which means it can be ploughed. And there's moisture in the soil then so that the seeds can germinate. And then a bit later on in autumn, there's another rainy season, and this is a heavier rainy season. It brings more rain. And the latter rain is needed for the crop to mature and for the fruit to ripen. Some of you have tomatoes in your gardens, and having come from Dunedin, I'm rather in envy of the size of the tomatoes in your gardens. But you will know they need some moisture for them to fill out, and the grain needs moisture to fill out. And that is the latter rain. That is the purpose of the latter rain. Rain was seen as a sign of God's blessing. In a hot climate, in a dry, often dry climate, it was needed to be able to grow food. So God's provision of rain was a provision of abundance. And again, the reading that Josh brought mentions oil and wine, the fullness, the abundance and richness of life. Rain is a sign of God's blessing, bringing the fullness of the harvest, allowing things to flourish and grow to their fullness. And as we heard in that reading, it is paired with a sign of the Holy Spirit coming. And the Holy Spirit coming to people. And that reading talked of old men and young men dreaming dreams and having visions, and men and women, and wealthy people and poor people, on all people hearing this. And we heard that today, if I can say, Josh, from a young man reading to us. Wasn't that wonderful? And the Lord is looking to pour out his Spirit on all people. So we're going to bring two readings together, two prophets today, and our first is that picture from Joel. That picture of the latter rain, the early rain and the latter rain, the fullness of God bringing blessing so that the fullness of God's harvest might come and God's desire to bring his Spirit to his people. The second reading we had, so this picture was just up here because it's a picture of fields and crops ripening in Israel. Second reading we had is from Isaiah. And we needed a little bit of context here as well. Oops, what's happened? Was that me, Peter? That's all just gone away. Lovely, thank you. Don't know quite what happens here. My apologies. Our second reading is from Isaiah. And we need a little bit of context here as well. Historically, this is written to a group of people who, for whom things have gone quite wrong. They've had two generations of things going wrong. They're in exile. They have been separated from their land, their material possessions, but also from their sense of purpose, that God is at work in their lives and that God has a purpose for them and God is going to be doing something. God's going to be fulfilling his purposes here because they were chosen. Abraham was chosen as a means that all nations on earth would be blessed. And now they're being occupied, in fact, captive by another nation. What's gone on with their purpose? So the history is these are a people who, yes, are dispossessed of their land and their material possessions, but they're also questioning, where is their purpose? Is God still at work in their lives? Has God forgotten them? Is there still a purpose for them in the world? Is there blessing to come to the world through them? Oops, okay, but I'm going to move that out of the way. So in this context, Isaiah brings this message. But there's something else we need to understand. There's a bit of a literary context here. Because there are phrases that by the time of Isaiah have built up lots and lots of meaning. And we have some sporting examples in New Zealand culture. So these are examples. They're the equivalent in New Zealand culture, perhaps, actually, far smaller examples. But what sport would I be talking about if I said, well, it's a game of two halves?
Rugby.
Rugby, yep, some of us got that. Okay, what if, oh, you've knocked me for a six. Okay, cricket, we got that one. What about the balls in your court?
Tennis.
Yeah, my sister's keen on tennis over there. Hit me with your best shot. Go on.
Soccer.
Is it a soccer term?
Boxing.
I think it's boxing. Please don't hit me with your best shot. When the wind's in your sails.
Sailing.
Okay. We have these phrases that have built up so much meaning that the ball's in your court. I knew that means, you know, it's over to you. But I actually needed to go back to a tennis player, my sister, to have the details of that explained to me. It's built up layers of meaning. So by the time of Isaiah, these phrases have built up a whole lot of meaning. And we've got the Lord who made a way through the sea. That phrase, when do we hear in Scripture, when in the Old Testament do we hear about God making a way through the sea?
Exodus
with Moses, yeah. So that sentence, a way through the sea, it's bringing to mind all of that history for the people who are hearing this. That once before, they were in a foreign land. Once before, they were oppressed by a power too great for them. Once before, God was ready to work and bring about something for them, bring about something miraculous, a miraculous change in their circumstance, bringing them through the wilderness, providing water, that's mentioned, providing water in the wilderness, bringing this transition from a before to an after, and bringing them, if we go to the end of this, bringing them to a people that are formed and formed to proclaim God's praise. Because the end goal is that they're coming back to Israel and going to build a temple and going to have a centralized place where they are praising God and God's purposes can be worked out. So as soon as people are hearing this, they are remembering God is faithful. God has dealt with a people like this before. God has brought his people out of oppression before. And God is saying, I am again going to do the same thing. Right at the start, Isaiah says, this is what the Lord says. Remember, he made a way through the sea. And then parallel and contrast, Isaiah says, forget the former things. Forget your current circumstances, the things that have gone wrong. Don't keep rehearsing in your mind what went wrong last time and think, oh, you know, I stuffed it up. We're getting stuck in thinking about that. Learn from it, yes, but don't get stuck there thinking about life hasn't turned out how I wanted. It's a call not to be stuck there because the Lord is ready to do a new thing. So Isaiah brings both of these ideas together. God is unchanging. Remember, he has the power to make a way through the sea. He can make a way for his people. And the Lord is doing something new here. And I think we often underestimate how much the Lord is always ready to do a new thing. And the thing that reminds me of that is, oops, we've gone. Is there a picture in there, Peter?
That's it.
Okay. I somehow an image has got lost here in the one that I saved. The thing that reminds me of this above all is beetles. And I have a picture of a whole lot of different species of beetles. The reason this reminds me is that God created, apparently, 80 million species of beetles. That's not 80 million different beetles. That's 80 million entire species of beetles. Blue ones with iridescent shells, ladybirds, ones that are apparently about this big, ones with fairly long antlers, ones that roll up dung. All sorts of beetles, 80 million. God wasn't saying, okay, beetles, two or three, we've got that sorted. God's like, this is so exciting, so creative, so innovative. I'm going to think of another sort of a beetle, and another one, and another one. God's always interested in being magnificently creative and doing something new. So we have encouragement next time you see a beetle. We have encouragement that God is always interested in doing a new thing, as well as being faithful to his character and rescuing his people and bringing about his purposes. There is one other theme in this passage which is a little bit more subtle, but it is there, and it is the same way of language being loaded and layered and layered and layered, because there are many references. It's on the top second line there. See, now it springs up. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If you're familiar with the second part of Isaiah, you might be aware there are quite a few references to gardens, to myrtle, to beautiful plants, cypress, and to springs coming forth. Where is the first time in Scripture that you hear of springs going out from a garden? Genesis, well done, Lynn. The beginning of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. There is a garden with abundant life and all these beautiful trees and springs going out and watering the world. And this also is a phrase that has layers of meaning layered onto it. Whenever springs are mentioned, whenever these beautiful trees are mentioned, whenever a garden is mentioned, and that comes up a bit in Jesus' parables as well. Whenever a garden is mentioned, we're meant to think this is an echo of when God was building that beautiful garden for everyone that was watered with springs. So in the wilderness, God is making springs and little Edens bursting forth. And this is a little bit of an aside, but if you're dealing with a tough season at the moment, and some of us will be, and you're feeling in a dry place at the moment, or in a wilderness, in a lost place at the moment, it is in the wilderness that the Lord looks to build little springs, little gardens, little Edens. He's making Edens and gardens in the wilderness. Right, that point was a little aside, but coming back, it is our first meeting of the new year. Happy New Year to you all. At New Year's, we often make New Year's resolutions, or a lot of people do. They think about the year ahead. We might make plans. We might decide what we want to keep the same, what we want to change. We get a new calendar. We set that up on our wall. We start making New Year's resolutions. But Stoke Baptist, what if God... It's not us doing a new thing. What if God wants to do a new thing amongst us? What if this New Year's message, God is saying to us, behold, I am doing a new thing. And I am wanting to do a new thing in your midst. Because God is saying, I am magnificently creative and not boring. Faithful, but not boring. And I am looking to do a new thing. And there are many, many falls of rain. This is not just something that happens once, or twice, or three times, or 1,000 times. There are many, many times in our lives that the Lord wants to move and start doing a new thing and doing a fresh thing and calling us and blessing us and equipping us for the new thing that He wants to do. What if the Lord wants to do a new thing in our midst? What if His Spirit wants to move in our midst, bringing a harvest in our local community, increasing the fullness of that? I think it sounds wonderful and intimidating. Is anyone with me on wonderful and intimidating? Yes. Okay, it's all right to say intimidating because Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so it's okay to feel intimidated. It's the beginning of wisdom. But wouldn't that be wonderful if the Lord's message to us this year is not, you know, tick off your New Year's resolutions, but the Lord is looking to do a new thing in our midst. Let's think about that. As I've been here since my appointment as pastor praying for this church, the prayer that has settled on my heart and stayed with me is to pray for a fresh move of God's Spirit in this church. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. This is the prayer that has stayed with me, that the Lord would stir us by His Spirit. There's a song, a modern song, but a song that uses the phrase that He would break our hearts for what breaks His. He would stir our hearts and open our eyes to see the community around us, to see the need in us, around us. That He would open our ears to hear what He is saying to us. That He would open our hearts, that our hearts might align with His and would break for what breaks His, and that we would move, we would want to move with Him and what He wants to do. Because He sees people all around our community, in our neighbourhood. He sees people who are hurting. He sees people with material needs. He sees people who need salvation of Jesus Christ. What if the Lord is looking to do a new thing in our midst? What if there are many, many seasons of rain in the Lord's kingdom and He is looking to stir amongst us again? So this is not my job, which is great. It's the Lord who does it. But it's also, humanly, it's all of our task. Because if the Lord is to move, we all need to be inviting Him. We all need to be asking Him. We all need to be willing to pray, Lord, speak to us, open our eyes, open our ears, give us humble hearts to hear and see and respond to what You are doing. And it is a bit intimidating. It's exciting and intimidating. Please be assured that the Lord knows the details of your circumstance. I know some of us have physical limitations. That's not a problem to the Lord. He understands, and we can certainly all pray. The Lord also believes in you and knows that you have strength that you don't know and you're not aware of. And by the by, Moses started his key ministry at the age of 80, so that's not a problem. Right? Are you willing to pray with me that the Spirit stirs amongst us and we may be responsive and receptive to the Lord doing a new thing in our midst? Yeah, I'm seeing some nodding. I think there are times where we actually need to do something physical to say that. Yep, to actually say, yes, I'm taking a stand about this. And Lord, we do mean this. We're not just saying it and yeah, but we're dipping our toe in the water and then forgetting. So if some of us are able to stand, some of us are not. If you're not able to stand, you might just want to raise your hand. But if you're able to stand, if you want to pray with me as I start to pray now, You're welcome to stand if you want to join me in this prayer.